shoulder tonight. Hey, she got the way to move it, Jerry.
She got the way to move it,
Jerry, baby. So will it go to? So will it go?
Oh, man, she got the way to move it, Cherry, and he got the way to pick it, Mickey. Mickey Paraskevas on The Song Is You. Hey, Mickey, welcome.
How are you, dear?
I'm just fine and dandy, and Neil Diamond, what could be better,
right? We're just having this conversation, and I get on the radio, and I have to be all mellow now because I feel like I'm on the radio.
Isn't it funny? Why do people change with a microphone? You were like all over the place dancing, and now all of a sudden it's high.
You know,
hi,
now
dear.
How are going to spin records? It sounds like I'm being late into the night. Your voice sounds so good on these speakers.
On the headphones, yeah. See, that's it. You're wearing headphones. It's throwing you off. You're hearing yourself, and you're hearing me.
Yeah, but it's easy to talk this way.
Oh, okay.
So anyway.
Easy to hear music, too.
Yes,
it's good, right?
I got a nice... Well, you told me to pick, 12 songs.
Well, 10 plus. You have to have a guilty pleasure, and you'll have one toward the end of the show. But Mickey Paraskevas, who is this award-winning, amazing, prolific painter, artist, journalist, former journalist, former commercial illustrator, author of Green Monkeys. Those of us here in the Hamptons have seen it in Dan's papers. And I think it started in, 98, was it, Mickey?
98.
98.
Yeah. It was a weekly comic strip.
But before all that, there's Maggie.
Yeah, there was Maggie and the Ferocious Beast that my mother and I created for
Nickelodeon,
which was a great show. My mother wrote that show.
Yeah?
Wrote most of the scripts. And I did all the artwork for it and the designed work.
There's a generation of people who know Maggie.
Yes, there is now. Yeah, there is, because the show's been on for 10 years.
Do I understand that you're working on perhaps a new film
about Maggie? Well, Maggie was illustrated in 2D, which is basic straight animation. And we're going to try to, the next step is to do it in CGI to make it look like
Computer generated. We'll make it look like
Toy Story.
Are you working a lot with the new digital technology as an illustrator and painter and artist?
Yeah, I draw. I like my new thing is to draw on the iPad.
I know you were showing me this. This is incredible.
This is the iPad that I waited online 3 hours for to buy the first day they were for sale. It was the iPad 2, and I was in LA, and I didn't know that I was going to buy this thing. I was walking past the store, and there was nobody online. So I said to the guy at the store, I said, when did these go on sale? He said, in 2 hours. But, you know, I said, well, where's the, am I first? And he goes, no.
No.
No, you have to go around the corner. And there were like about 300 people waiting there. So I went, and I waited online. I sat online. I talked to a bunch of interesting people. It was actually, they were.
And
actually,
are you addicted to it?
Well, I bought it. And within the first day I had, I think really, I told you this before. This is true. I got back to my apartment. I was subletting in L.A. I took one look at this ridiculous device, and I immediately wrote to my friends, I just paid $800 to play Angry Birds. But I didn't know what to do with it. But then as the week went on, it became this most invaluable tool. My friend bought one. He went out and got one immediately.
And you're using it to draw with?
I draw with it.
Not exclusively, though, right?
No, but just for fun and sketches, and I throw them up. If anybody who knows my Facebook page knows that I have posted probably about 150 monster, ferocious. I call them ferocious beasts of the day.
Ferocious beasts of the day.
Of the day, and we. I just.
Do they each have a name?
Yeah.
And a profile themselves.
They don't have a no.
Do they have their own Facebook pages?
No, they don't. But they just have their. My friends use them for their profile pictures.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. I love them. And how would you describe your style for those listeners who may not know Mickey Paraskevis?
I don't know. You always throw me a question. I don't know how to answer. Colorful. This is where the problem around the radio.
You're right.
Because you can't see. It's much easier to look at than it is to talk about.
It's a challenge, though. You have to describe.
Yeah. But I do. I draw a kind of a monster face on top of some kind of business attire, mm-hmm. like a tie or a white shirt. And it's sort of like.
It's like people in the Hamptons.
Yeah, I was going to call them interns. So you have to see them. They're kind of like big bug eyes and giant teeth and horns. And
folks will have to check it out. But in the meantime, we're listening to some of Mickey's favorite things, which include Neil Diamond and taking it back to your mom. What a connection you and your mom had as co-illustrators, co-creators.
Co-creators, yeah. My mother wrote all the children's books that we did, and then I did all the paintings for them. And we did 23 books over the years. She passed away a year ago in April. Sad.
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a great lady.
But Cherry is...
But when I was a kid, when my mother found Neil Diamond when we were kids, she would listen to Neil Diamond all day long, and she'd say, this guy is great. She just loved him. And she really got inspired listening to him because he was a real songwriter. Mm. And she started to write lyrics. And that's how she started. When I was a kid, I think in high school, she really started to write song lyrics and taught herself how to play guitar. And wrote a bunch of songs.
Who knew? I didn't know she played guitar.
And then by the time I got through art school, I said to her, you should write a children's book. Because her lyrics were so succinct and funny. And she was great at telling a story in a lyric. Because she grew up like listening to Broadway and being involved in Broadway. So that was kind of her thing. So Neil Diamond's, she just got very inspired by listening to Neil Diamond's work. So she said, I could write a song.
How interesting, because usually it's the story that goes the other way around, where you're first writing and then you break into songwriting. But she was writing lyrics and then she broke into writing,
But she had a big, her background was not even in music, but she taught herself how to play the guitar. She taught herself how to write a lead sheet. She was amazing. When she wanted to do something, she really did it. But then I finally sat her down and I said, look, we can do a children's book and you can write. It's almost like writing a song.
And Maggie was born then? Was it?
And yeah, Maggie was an early book was The Ferocious Beast, and from that came the TV show. And
wow.
She wrote the show, but her big thing was funny because she loved writing books, we loved working together. But her big, everybody has a thing that they really can do really well. I mean, I can paint. I mean, I write now, but I think I'm really probably a better painter. But she really was great at writing a script. She had a great ear for dialogue. So her dialogue...
Even more so than books?
Yeah, I think her books. Even more so than the books.
Because she could say more with less, probably,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah, she really had a way with character. And I think that's what's great about the Maggie show and why it lasted 10 years on Nick, because it was so... the characters were so particular and so funny that people got wise to it after a while. Their parents would watch it and they'd say, this is not like the other shows that are on. It wasn't like... Blue's Clues, and it wasn't like Dora. It was just odd.
Different.
It was a different show. It was a different type of show because it was her voice, and they really didn't let, they didn't nitpick her. They didn't bother her.
Well, what about you and your illustrations? Were you thinking children yourself? I mean, it seems to me it's a mix for you too. And
well, I don't have kids, which doesn't bother me. But I mean, it's nice. I liked children's books.
Illustrating though.
Illustrating. I liked doing illustrating. I was illustrating for a lot of magazines. I was doing Time, Newsweek. I did everything, Esquire, and then it was just kind of nice to do a book. Hmm. To do 20 paintings. And I liked working with my mother. We always had a good time.
And people
always ask me, they said, why do you live home? Why do you live with your mother and father? I said, my mother and I had a blast. I can't even...
And sharing music like this, like
Neil
Diamond?
Yeah, we used to listen to music all day long. And we, you know.
And you picked this live
it's
version?
It's funny. I picked the live Cherry Cherry because her favorite album really was the Neil Diamond Hot August Night, which was recorded at the Greek Theater in L.A.
In L.A. But where you spend a lot of your time.
Now I do, I guess.
Yeah,
but it was. But Neil Diamond was a great. I mean, I think if I ever listen to Neil Diamond on the radio, I think, oh, Betty. I think of my mother.
Cherry, Cherry, going out to Betty Paraskevas.
Yeah,
and Mickey is here on the song as you. Do we have something next for your dad? Because you want to give him equal time here, right?
My father was. Oh well, actually, no. What's up next?
We're gonna play
Oh, Lucky Man was basically for me because my mother always said that I was incredibly lucky. She did. She's always said. She said, you're very talented, but you do have a certain amount of luck.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
And yeah, who is this?
This is Alan Price from Oh Lucky Man, from the soundtrack for the film of the same name.
If you have a friend on whom you think you can rely, you are a lucky man. If you found the reason to live on and not to die, you are a lucky man. Preachers and poets and scholars don't know it. Temples and statues and steeples won't show it. If you've got the secret, just try not to blow it. Stay a lucky man. A lucky man. If you found the meaning of the truth in this whole world, you are a lucky man. Like pearls instead of chains, you are a lucky man. Takers and fakers and talkers won't tell you. Teachers and preachers will jump by and sell you. When no one can tempt you with heaven or hell, you'd be a lucky man.
Okay, so this is from the movie Oh Lucky Man, which we were just saying I've never seen before. So you recommend it, huh?
I would recommend this movie.
Cult classic.
From it was not on DVD for a long time, and it's a widescreen cut. It's great. It's like a director's cut.
And so Alan Price, you were just saying, is in the film.
He's in the film.
It shows him doing the music
whole
soundtrack, or the soundtrack
for the film. And every once in a while, they'll cut back to him in the studio.
And what kind of story is it? Like coming of age?
It's a coming of age story about this young guy. Malcolm McDowell is in it. The guy that was in the
Clockwork Orange.
And this was filmed before Clockwork Orange. And it's just escaping me the name of the man who directed the movie. It's just, I'm just blanking.
Not Kubrick, who did Clockwork Orange.
No, but it was made in England. But it isn't. It's an odd movie. My father and I watched it one day. I picked it up out of the video store. I said, oh, let's just watch this. And we laughed
Why?
I guess I can't say asses.
You could say asses.
We left our asses off.
Yeah.
For this movie. It was the strangest film.
But so it's just out on DVD, you said.
It just came out on DVD like last year. I think it's out finally. People would write in on Amazon. Where is this movie on, you know, on, put this movie on DVD.
But this is sort of your soundtrack, if you will. Oh, Lucky Man.
I think, yeah, my mother always said that I was lucky.
In what ways, Mickey Paraskevas, do you think you've been lucky?
This is a stupid story. This is weird. I needed to talk to Gary Marsh, who was a friend of mine, but, you know, he's the head of Playhouse Disney, and he's a big shot at Disney. If he's listening to this, he's going to kill me. But it's funny. Like, I really wanted to talk to him one day, and I was at the licensing show in Vegas, and I said to my friend, I have one thing to do today. I really have to talk to Gary. I just want to see Gary. I need to see him face to face. And I literally walk out onto the floor of the show at the convention center, and I walked right into Gary. I said, oh, hi, Gary. So it was within 30 seconds, I had gotten everything.
So things like that, synergy has followed you throughout your life.
Yes, that's an example.
As a kid, remember, you remember one?
Business-wise, in the right time at the right spot. I picked up the phone one day. I was in New York. I had my portfolio. I was right out of art school, like a day. I picked up the phone, and I called up the New York Times magazine section, and I said, I want to drop my portfolio off. I want to show you my work. And she said, what's your name? And I said, Mickey Paraskevas. And this girl on the phone said, Mick, it's Audrey. I said, yeah. She goes, I sat behind you in class yesterday.
Oh, my God.
So I said, oh, you're working there now? She goes, yeah, I just got a job. Here, bring your book up. And I actually got a job that day. A cover for the New York Times. For the New York Times magazine section, Ken Kendricks was the art director at the time. Saw my work and said, oh, go paint this picture. And you know what it was a painting of? It was a painting of the DiMonell family. Who lives out here? The big art collectors.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
it was an article about them.
So don't tell me you got to meet them.
No,
and
I didn't.
They subsidized
I didn't
your entire career for the rest of your life.
I wasn't lucky.
Okay, all right. Luck goes only so far.
Luck only goes so far. You have to have a certain amount of talent, but being in the right spot at the
right
time.
When did you know you had that certain amount of talent, Mickey? Were you drawing as a kid early on? You know, you hear all these stories about painters, artists.
I picked up a sketchbook when I was like 12. Mm. I really started to draw. But I didn't really think about it. It was just something to do. I didn't think about it as a career.
You didn't think of going to art school?
No.
Anything like
that?
I didn't think
of going to art school.
How about music?
Last minute.
How much was music a part of your life?
I like music, but I'm completely tone deaf. As everybody would tell you that I was.
You were singing along pretty well here.
No, I was not singing along. I was air.
Air singing.
What do they call it?
You were air singing.
Air singing and air drumming and air playing the piano.
Air keyboards. Mickey's the only one I've seen who's ever done air keyboards.
I like my music. You know, I like my music. I don't listen to music.
You like your music. It's funny how people don't have to do it in order to appreciate it. I guess it's the same with art, right? You know, that classic line that, I may not know it, but I know what I like, you know?
Yeah, but there's a lot of piano players, but there's not that many people could write, you know, Rhapsody in Blue.
Yeah, true. It doesn't, true.
So a lot of people can appreciate music. And.
But it's been a part of your life, and you've shared it.
Mainly because my mother. My mother, I always called my mother was a depression kid, but would always listen to the radio and knew every old song and would sing along. Whenever I watch an old movie, she would knew all the lyrics to every. You know, what the Great American Songbook.
But what about your dad? And I think we're up next with something.
Oh, he was completely tone deaf.
Yeah.
Oh, my mother would tell him, don't sing, Paul.
Paul.
His name was Paul.
Paul.
Don't sing.
And what did Paul do?
He worked for Exxon.
Wow.
He worked for the evil corporation of Exxon.
Oh, no. The evil
great.
Empire.
I love Exxon. Listen, they put us all through school. He was an executive at Exxon. He worked in tankers. He was a great guy. Played golf.
But why this song?
This
for
song
your dad?
Is an Eels song, and I really have to say that when I listened to the first time I heard the song, I said this Mark Everett, who wrote the song, was singing about his father. I'd have to hear. I've listened to it a dozen times, and I think I always think of my dad when I listen to the song.
Let's listen.
The old oak tree had roots so far down in the ground. I fell from it and hit the dirt without a sound. I dreamt at night of growing wings so I could fly. A caterpillar to a moth before I die.
I plodded through ordinarily earthbound. I knew my feet could never leave the ground. I went about my way unsteady and afraid. How could I know I was headed for this day? All the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years of my life. It was all worth it to be here now. I'm a hummingbird floating tree to tree. I'm a hummingbird, beautiful and free. The old oak tree was dead, I had to cut it down. The sapling roots were new and sprouting through the ground. New worlds were taking shape, unseen and unknown. A branch to rest upon, a place to call my own. Something had changed and I'm not sure how or why. I wasn't dreaming, I was awake, I was alive. Gave up the ghost, he had nothing left to say. But it was him who brought me to this day. All the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years of my life. It was all worth it to be here now. I'm a hummingbird floating tree to tree. I'm a hummingbird, beautiful and free.
That is the Eels. I'm still kind of that's recovering. That's beautiful.
Well, isn't it odd? Odd.
It's odd and beautiful at the same time.
Because it textures his songs with lots of stuff. Yeah. You have to listen to them a lot.
This side of the Eels I'm not as familiar with as like the up-tempo kind of catchy
tunes.
Yeah,
some people know the big up-tempo.
Right.
Catches, but he does have a way of writing very serious. He'll either write a very seriously sad song and make it funny with like a funny melody line, or he'll make a really sad melody line, and then the song will be kind of like kind of a nice and pretty and like a love song or something. Yeah, he's really very
clever. And the distortion on what sounded like a string section in the background almost.
Yeah.
And the Eels is actually just one guy.
It's just one guy, Mark Oliver Everett.
And he's been around, well, how long have you known the Eels? When did you discover the Eels?
You know what, I honestly...
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago.
Well, yeah, that's it. Me too.
But they've been around for a while. I mean, they've got 10, 12 albums. The albums are terrific. Well, they're all interesting. I mean, if you haven't heard the Eels,
check them out.
I think they're going to be on tour.
And I'm a Hummingbird.
I'm a Hummingbird.
And you swear this is like...
I don't know why. For some reason...
It reminds you of your dad.
It reminded me of my father.
Yeah. Well, that's sweet. I mean, some of the lyrics were very, very powerful about how obviously he's paying tribute to someone who brought him to where he is today in many ways. So there's your dad, right?
So that's why I think of my father.
Wow. We're here with Mickey Peresquivas on The Song Is You, and we're going to move ahead to the TV age, huh? Joe Jackson?
Only because it's the TV age.
It is.
And I've always liked Joe Jackson.
shit about you. Who are you anyway?
Yeah, now it goes into another song.
Joe Jackson, yeah. Night and Day does that. It goes, that
it
album
fades
goes in
right
and out.
Into the
yeah,
next, it fades
just
right
segues
into the next
right
songs,
into,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool
Do you
choice.
Remember the first time you ever heard that album? I mean, it was really, I mean, I remember the, because the big song out of that album was
Stepping Out.
Was Stepping Out, mm-hmm. which now I've heard so many times you don't even want to listen to it. But I mean, but the rest of the stuff on the album is just so interesting.
TVH.
And every song on that album
and
is interesting.
And didn't Joe Jackson, didn't I read on this album that he played most of his own instruments, most of the instruments.
I
could see him doing that anyway. He was so gifted. What's happened to Joe Jackson? Have we heard from him lately? Have you heard from him?
He hasn't called.
He hasn't called. He hasn't written.
He's around.
What do you like about this particular sound, though?
Don't you like that sound?
Yeah, but what do you like about it?
I just picked it because it had... I like, of all of Joe Jackson's songs, it was just the funniest one to pick because it was TVH. Because I'm in the TV business, so...
You are in the TV business.
So I figured it was a good song to pick.
Should you imagine yourself in the TV business?
No, I never did. I really thought that I was just going to paint and illustrate and maybe teach.
But you're a painter and you sell your work as a painter,
yes.
an artist. You've done a lot of paintings around the Hampton Classic Horse Show here in the Hamptons. For those folks listening around the country, you should come and see it sometime if you're a horse person. I mean, it's an important part of that competition.
And this month, I don't know, well, this month and the month of May, I have a show up at Ford North Main Gallery.
In Southampton. Yeah, yeah.
And it's up for the month.
And what is that of?
That's of
your monsters?
Various work. No, various illustrations from book illustrations and big train paintings that I've done.
You've done big train paintings?
Yeah, over the years. I like trains.
Who doesn't like trains? You didn't pick a train song, though. How interesting. There isn't one train song in this mix.
You mean like Rock Island Line?
I don't know.
I didn't even think
I don't
about.
Know. How about the City of New Orleans, right?
Yeah, that would
know.
Be a good song.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do that next
but
time.
But you've got exhibits and all that, but you are a television, you're a TV guy now.
I like animation. When my mother passed away, my sister came to me and said, I'm going to fill this void and I'm going to write, you know, she wanted to write a book. So I said, all right. So she wrote this book. And it wasn't very good. I told her, my twin sister is wonderful. She's great. She's really funny. But then she kept writing, and they kept getting better. And then we collaborated on a book together that we're going to finish up this summer. And we have an agent for it, and we'll see what happens with it.
And can you give us hints?
It's about the boardwalk.
The boardwalk?
It's about the boardwalk in Jersey.
In Jersey.
Which is where we really grew up. Isn't
there a TV show already about the boardwalk?
Yeah, it's called Jersey Shore. No, it's called Boardwalk Empire is about the Boardwalk Empire. But that's about the Prohibition. This book is about four kids who grow up.
It is a kid's.
Yeah, it's like a young adult.
Adult, okay. Yeah.
And Judy and I really had we had so much fun writing it. We didn't care whether it got published or not. So we were. That's what I think. That's why it's good, because we just really wanted to write it.
But you're
just
aiming it for TV.
We're going to aim it to get it published, and then we'll see if we're going to make a film out of it.
But in the meantime, what are you working on TV right now? I mean,
we're working on the new Maggie episodes. We're working on a show about a nightclub. Yeah, I can't say the name of it. And then we're also working on a show about, what am I working on? Oh, I'm working on a, I'm writing, my sister and I are writing a feature film script about, I can't say.
Oh, gee, thanks, Mickey.
Because every time I say things,
full
then
of
I go
information.
See,
somebody you'll get sued or something.
Somebody else will do it. And then
are you doing anything on Johnny Appleseed by chance?
I do like this song. This song was used. This is Joe Strummer. This is the guy from The Clash. Poor Joe Strummer passed away. Mm-hmm. Very young, 56.
Oof. That's scary.
But this was a band. He got this band put together, and they did two albums. Did they do two albums?
I don't know. We're looking at Kyle Lynch, our engineer. Nobody knows.
We know these records, but no, Joe Strummer and the Mescalers. This is a great album.
Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed was used as the title track song for John from Cincinnati, which was a much beloved series on HBO that got canceled.
Oh, great. Johnny Appleseed, TV age, with Mickey Paraskevis on the song as you. Let's listen.
Getting the honey, hey, 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 and you don't go killing all the
love this. I love this.
Isn't that a great song?
And not knowing the TV show it goes with, it doesn't matter. I love the song, Johnny Appleseed.
Isn't that a great song?
It's great. Joe Strummer. I could see a children's television show animated about Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed.
Why not?
Crazy long-bearded guy running around the country planting apple trees.
And by the way, do you know where the term broadcast comes from?
No.
From people like Johnny Appleseed. When you take a handful of seeds and you throw them, you cast them broadly.
Pearls of wisdom from Bonnie Grice.
Mickey Pariskevas, Joe Strummer, and Johnny Appleseed on The Song Is You. This is cool. What a great collection of songs. And it sounds like, you know, you like an eclectic mix in your life of listening. Did you grow up, you said your mom liked show tunes and she liked pop music.
She liked
In there? Any jazz?
She liked classical. She liked some jazz. She didn't like jazz that strayed too far afield. She liked swing band music. I mean, I did too. I mean,
and
I think sometimes
too,
when she liked, you know, sometimes if you'd listen to, if you listen to Miles Davis or if you listen to a lot of like Charlie Parker, which kind of goes quite far astray from the melody lines that my mother used to love.
Right.
She'd get a little confused.
Which is part of the point of jazz.
She'd get a little confused. She'd say, oh, I think they're on radar somewhere. Where's the melody? Where'd the song go? I don't know what's going on. Where'd the song go?
What's the equivalent visually in painting where you do that? That kind of improvisation. Would that be like Jackson Pollock, abstract expressionism?
Yeah, I think that once you get stray from the subject matter, it goes into pure color and form.
And you've never really done that sort of painting?
I think all painting is abstract.
It's
an all abstraction from
life. Like in your sketchbooks, though, I mean, you capture things that are fairly true to life looking. You've just been to concerts and...
But it's just paint on paper.
Yeah.
It's just pencil and color.
But the figures, like, you just saw Prince
in
concert. Yeah,
I just saw Prince in concert. The first time, my friend has seen Prince 92 times.
No.
Yeah. I said, are there 90 days in the year? How many times can you go see a concert?
Besides,
but he's seen him a lot.
Prince has performed that many times live? That's hard.
Apparently he has. He does sneak around and he does a lot of shows. He does.
And he's doing this series, Prince
is
in LA?
He's doing a series in LA, 21 nights in LA. I think he's done like four of them already.
And I love these sketchbooks. You take these everywhere, right?
I take them everywhere now.
Will you ever publish these, Mickey? These are fabulous.
No. I'll never sell them. I will never publish
them.
No one will see them.
No.
No, I can't. Well, I'll, you know.
I mean, you were just there with Pink Floyd recently, too.
I did the Pink Floyd concert. I'm still waiting to meet Roger Waters one of these days. One of these days.
He's out here on the East End, right?
He is out here, but they're touring now.
And you know who else is out here is the next performer that you picked.
Billy Joel.
You got a soft spot for this man, huh?
He owns. Well, he bought three paintings from me, so I can't complain.
Oh, nice.
He's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
Have you ever painted a stiletto before?
Yeah. Yes, many times.
Play the song. She searches for the babe. She's so So some Chet Baker on the song is you with our guest, Mickey Paraskevas. You were just telling me you did illustrations for Atlantic Records.
I did a whole box set of Atlantic Records called Atlantic Jazz. You can find it on eBay. It was the last boxed vinyl set, I think, that Atlantic Records did.
So the large album covers.
Large albums.
And
some of them were double albums.
And then they shrunk them down.
Yeah, they shrunk them down to CDs, and then they put it on a cassette.
So who did you paint? What did you paint?
Every album was a genre of Atlantic jazz. Like, one was fusion and bebop and West Coast and Kansas City and New Orleans. So they each, like, it was a different thing. For New Orleans, we did
Was Chet Baker among them? You didn't
No.
paint?
I
don't think
Chet
he
Baker.
Was, yeah. But who were some of the ones you did?
We did Thelonious Monk. I painted Shelly Mann, the drummer. I did all these guys. I mean, it was really a lot of fun.
Earl
I didn't
Garner.
Know, I knew nothing of Earl Garner. I didn't know anything about jazz when I did that back in 86. seven.
But you picked Chet Baker here doing Summertime.
I like Chet Baker. My friend introduced me to Chet Baker when we were driving around L.A. one day, and she goes, you got to listen to this. And she plays all this Chet Baker stuff. And we were driving around L.A. looking at the palm trees. And, oh, my God. It was like the perfect background music for driving around Los Angeles.
Because this is so West Coast
Very
sound.
West Coast jazz.
Cool.
Yeah.
Laid back. But this is Chet minus the vocals. And he was known as a singer as well as a trumpeter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to, you know, they always play, say, wait, if they want to pick a Chet Baker song, what do they pick? Oh, they always pick My Funny Valentine, which I don't like.
My Funny Valentine. You don't?
I can't stand that song.
Oh, sorry.
Because they always say, oh, my, you have a wonderful voice. But I just, whenever they pick that song, it's always like, oh, yeah, play Chet Baker.
I'll never forget
play.
The first time I heard Chet Baker. I thought it was a woman. I thought he was a woman. But he's in that timbre, that register that could be either way, at least as a young singer he was.
Yeah.
And just, what a matinee idol he was originally.
He's very handsome. But I like his... I do like his trumpet playing.
That's cool.
That's cool, man.
True cool.
True cool.
Summertime, Chet Baker. And before that was Billy Joel, who's we're taping this show on Billy Joel's birthday.
So happy birthday, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
A couple of days later.
And now we got Pink Floyd, real quick.
Real
we got to hear a little Pink Floyd.
Little Pink Floyd, because our good buddy Roger Waters lives in the area.
Hi, Roger.
Like, I don't know him. I don't know.
But what's this one?
But I did see the show three times. This is from The Final Cut, the last Pink Floyd album, which is very underrated, but a wonderful album.
And it's called A Hero's Return.
A Hero's Return.
Pink Floyd.
Final Cut, which I call the third part of The Wall.
So it's like all the songs that couldn't fit into The Wall, you were saying.
And I always thought the final cut was all the stuff they couldn't fit on The Wall.
It so it'd be The Ledge.
Sense. The Ledge.
The Ledge instead of The Wall. Pink Floyd. I love it. Who are some of your heroes? Just in general.
Robert Weaver, who was a great illustrator in the 50s and 60s, a teacher of mine. Great guy.
Where'd you study with him?
At School of Visual Arts. He was a teacher there. Good guy. Jack Potter. Everybody who knows me who went to School of Visual Arts knows Jack Potter was a phenomenal.
Relation to Harry? No.
No.
No. Okay.
Just Jack.
Just Jack.
Jack Potter.
Yeah.
Great teacher.
What'd you learn quickly?
He really did teach me how to draw. It's just, I don't know, it's hard to figure out what it is he taught you.
And now you're just so compelled to do it, it seems. You're prolific as heck.
I get bored.
You get bored.
No, I know people who, like, I was at a studio one time, and I was the art director for this project we were doing. And I would sit there and I'd say, well, what do these characters look like? And they'd say, go off in your room and draw. And I'd come out like 5 minutes later, and I had like 20 drawings. And I'd say, here they go.
20 drawings
in 5 minutes.
And they
were like, well, what, you're done? I said, yeah, we'd have to sit here all day now. I was like, I knew what I drew. I knew what I had to draw. So
speaking of which, I know what I have to do, and that is we're going to wrap up soon. But you want to hear some Eels before your guilty pleasure. Some more Eels.
This is. I have no reason to play the song, but it is really my favorite Eels song.
And by
all
means.
I don't know why, but it is really my favorite song.
We're going for it.
Today is a lovely day to run. Start up the car with the sun. Packing blankets and dirty sheets. A room full of dust and a broom. All the troubles you and I have seen. Cross when the drawbridge light is green. Don't look back to that messed up scene. Packing blankets and dirty sheets. A room full of dust and a broom to sweep up. All the troubles you and I have seen. Troubles will be gone, blowing out over that bridge, floating up into the sky, making the storm clouds cry. Smoke and breathe some air. Get a new name and cut your hair. Packing blankets and dirty sheets. A room full of dust and a broom to sweep up. All the troubles you and I have seen.
And blankets, the Eels. Aw. I can just sense some emotion going on here. Huh? You can't talk about it. But for someone special.
Yeah.
Mickey Paraskevas on The Song Is You, and wrapping up, as we always do, with a guilty pleasure.
The first time you said this, I knew exactly what song it was going to be. It has never changed.
Because a lot of people have said, what do you mean by guilty pleasure?
I know exactly what you meant.
Okay.
I know exactly what you meant. This is the dumbest song. I love this girl's voice. I have no idea who she is. She's a couple of great records and not that well known, but this song is really funny.
Oh, well,
this
you
is
are
my guilty pleasure song.
So delightful to join us for this hour. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Mickey Paraskevas. Check him out. You got a website, I'm sure. People can look, and Facebook.
It's under Michael Paraskevas.
Michael. Officially, but he's Mickey to us.
It's Mickey to us. But if you look under Michael, but you can actually, yeah, I'm on Facebook. You can always see all my artwork on Facebook. You can even friend me.
Hey, friend
Tell me.
Tell
me you heard the show and you can friend me. That's opened up a big can of worms, isn't it?
And we look for Maggie, courtesy of Mickey.
Maggie and the Precious Piece is coming. I got a new book. I wrote a book with my sister called Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Don't be ridiculous.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's been a funny book. That's been a lot of fun.
Mickey, thanks so much. This has been a lot of fun. Great. I fell in love.
You sat down by the table and you said hello. And I said hello, hello. I was blushing by your presence cause you were so, and so damn beautiful.
You've been listening to The Song Is You, produced and hosted by Bonnie Grice. The executive producer is Linda Littman. The engineers include Charles de Montebello and Ethan Donaldson at CDM Studios in New York City, and Kyle Lynch and Matt Cooper at Peconic Public Broadcasting in Southampton, New York. To learn more and hear some sample shows, check out our website, thesongisyou.org. The Song Is You is a division of BLG Productions. Continuing adventures in public media.